So I do have prepared sermon notes. I'm going to start off a little different. And kids, I want you to pay attention. Can you guys pay attention? I want you, Augie, you can't say, Mom, you can't say because you know. But on Friday, I had an interesting experience. I went to a place where first I had to fill out a form to get permission to visit. Then even though I had now permission to visit, I had to call ahead by Tuesday to set up an appointment to visit on Friday. Then I had to drive to a visitor center. I had to go to a visitor center. I had to fill out another form saying that what I was going to do by visiting. And I had to have everything out of my pockets except my keys and my ID. I could have tissues too, I suppose, but I couldn't have anything else in my pockets. Couldn't even wear my watch. And then when I went in, I had to give them the keys, and they hung my keys up. They hung my keys up, and they gave me a little number so that I could get my keys on the way back. Then I went through a metal detector. Then I got patted down. Then I waited until it was time for a bus. And then the bus drove me to the building. And then I went into the building. They let me in one door that was open. The other door was closed. Then they closed the one door, opened the other door. Then they told me what table I was going to be at. Then I sat at the table, and finally the person came. Now, I could shake the person's hand, but that's all I could do. And then I had to keep my hands above the table. And, as a matter of fact, this is how I meant to start it. As a matter of fact, I also couldn't have money. All I could do is have this card, so that if I wanted to get something in the vending machines, I had to put money on this card, go get the vending machines. But this other person I was meeting with could not go get something at the vending machine. He couldn't leave the table. Now, if I wanted to go to the bathroom was back there. I had to go to the bathroom. I had to stand there till somebody buzzed it, so then I could go in the bathroom. Now, my friend, who was at the table and couldn't leave the table, he had to wait till there was specifically a bathroom break, and then they would call groups of people that then could use the bathroom. Does anybody have an idea, not Augie or Mommy, where I was?
The prison.
I went to a prison.
No.
Have you gone to a prison before? It does sound like a prison. Well, I'm glad it's not from personal experience that you know, especially on the other side of the table. And I think I've already told you all that I generally do not do what I would call holiday sermons. And today, of all days, I should probably do a holiday sermon. But it just seemed to me, being that I did visit my friend down at the Fremont Correctional Facility, which is in Canyon City. Does anybody know where that is?
No.
Past Colorado Spring. Little
Royal Gorge?
Yeah, I've never been there, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, longtime friend. And once before I'd done this sermon, I told the story back in Antrim about how he got there. And given that you haven't heard it, and that I got to spend some time with him a couple days ago, and given that his experience is actually, I know this may not seem like it, but it actually is true, that his experience is a warning for us all, I think you'll understand by the end of the sermon. I'm going to go ahead and share the sermon that I did first about 7 years ago. Also, you're going to notice that today's sermon is short on scriptural references. I don't like having sermons without a lot of scripture in them. But that's because I think his testimony is so powerful, it's best to let it kind of stand on its own. It's definitely not anti-biblical. But this is from a letter he wrote me, obviously more than 7 years ago. First, a little more about my friend. I can't say he and I were close. But he was more than just an acquaintance. We worked together at CVS Pharmacy in West Lebanon, New Hampshire. And if you've ever had a similar experience, you'll know that you develop a kind of bond with anybody that you've regularly worked at 3 a.m. with in the morning, once a week. The truck at CVS Pharmacy is a very busy store. So that truck had to come in early so that we could get a lot of the stuff out before people started showing up. And if you worked at 3 a.m. in the morning regularly with somebody, you develop a bond, especially if you and the other person, also named Mike, we would share a Mountain Dew that was on the edge of freezing. You know, it has some ice starting to come up in it. And that's what you need when you should be sleeping instead. But we asked, we did use separate cups. He was close enough, and his name is Mike. He was close enough to Michelle and me that I had actually, when I went to work on the Atlanta Olympics, the first couple months out there, things weren't a done deal yet, so Michelle had to stay behind. But she happened to be pregnant with, who do you think, Augie? Nope, wasn't you.
Mikey.
It was Mikey, exactly, with our first son. And we had two Siamese cats. Do you remember their names, Augie? No, no, two Siamese cats from before you existed.
Oh, I know. Simon and Garfunkel.
Exactly, Simon and Garfunkel. Pregnant women, I guess, aren't supposed to get in your kitty litter?
Right.
Some kind of thing. So Mike, acquaintance friend, work friend, would come over and change the kitty litter. Now, he wasn't a very close friend, but as I said, he was a good friend, as shown by that act of kindness. I mean, who really wants to come over and change kitty litter? So I wanted you to have this much before I share a portion of one of his letters with you. Ready? These are Mike's words written down. Back to that free will thing, where God does see and know all, and we, with our limited insights, are allowed to either follow God or run amok. Is it so much God changes his mind or just sees fit to let us feel the pain of our choices before he then says, okay, now you see why that way won't work? Now follow me and see that this way is better. For my part, and he's speaking about his own experience, for my part, despite feeling the tugging to come to Jesus, I persisted in my arrogance and sin. So since I wouldn't allow God to intercept me before my, and he puts this in quotes, indiscretion, and he's not putting in quotes to minimize it, he's putting in quotes because he realizes it's a euphemism for something horrible. He still, and he underlines still, he still called me, but at a time where I was broken down and more receptive to his call. I do believe that he tries to get our attention before we drive off a cliff, as it were. But when we ignore him and blunder into things, he will call to us again that we might be more receptive. I suspect most of us can relate to this. There may be some people, maybe not. I don't know, were you a Christian from birth?
No.
So sometimes, when I first gave this, there were probably some people in the congregation who were Christians from birth. Okay. Who were Christians from birth, growing up in a Christian family and always having their eyes on Jesus. And if that is true, then that kind of person has a lot more to thank God for, right? Not going off the rails. But for almost everybody, even most that have had Christian parents, in all likelihood, there was a time that you ran amok, as he used the term, that you ran amok. Running amok, by the way, doesn't mean you're out killing people. Running amok means you're doing what you shouldn't do instead of following God. Some people run amok in very light ways, in invisible ways, but they still run amok. And you had to experience the consequences for your sinful choices, which, by the way, oddly enough, as Mike seems to pick up, you should also thank God for. However, it's the next part of Mike's testimony that stood out to me. Think of riding a bus. Is everybody imagining this? Kids, you're thinking about riding a bus? Think about riding a bus. And while you think it's taking you where you want it to go, you aren't the one driving. The devil is. And the bus goes with the flow, the typical, quote, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, unquote, Matthew 7:13, hitting potholes, running into cars, and over pedestrians, all sorts of havoc. But you're sitting right there hanging on because that's where you want to go. But what you don't notice is that at every bus stop, there's a limo, and its driver is holding up a sign with your name on it, waving and yelling to you, but the bus's windows are closed, and you're looking ahead at where you're going, because that's your plan and you're sticking with it no matter how many troubles the bus has. Again and again, at each bus stop, the limo and driver are there holding up the sign with your name on it and calling to you. but you don't hear it or see it because the bus just ran down some celebrity or stopped by the crack dealer. And that's what all the people are doing, so that's what you are doing, because that's the way you are going. Then the bus is swerving toward a group of people. Some are strangers, some are your own family. But wait, that's not supposed to happen. True, the bus is going the way I want to go, I think, but it's not supposed to hit them. Too late. And now the bus has steel mesh over its windows. I'm in shackles, and the driver has a gun and a badge. What the? How did this happen? I was just going with the flow like everyone else. Now I have to look through steel mesh. Hey, is that limo driver waving to me? Did you notice how during the testimony it changes from the second person to the first person? I was talking about a second person, but then came to him, from you to I. This isn't just a stuffy theological discussion between two Christians. This is a personal experience put into words. That is Mike's story. That is Mike's story. But you know what? Mike's story is not complete without her story. Her being a 45-year-old jogger whose life intersected with Mike's about a decade and a half ago. So Mike's been in prison, I think, 14 years now. And he won't be out for at least another 18, I think. And that's when he has the first chance of getting out. That's not when he's actually going to get out, because parole boards don't necessarily look kindly on people who did what Mike did. So here's her story. This is from a newspaper. Denver. A construction worker kidnapped a jogger and raped her five times during a span of 24 hours in his pornography-littered trailer, videotaping one of the assaults and happily watching it before letting her go, authorities said. Police say the 45-year-old woman was set free after she agreed to make the video and pretend she enjoyed it. The woman had memorized the man's name and address from a magazine label in the trailer, helping authorities track him down Thursday. Michael, won't give his last name right now, 29, was arrested on suspicion of kidnapping, first-degree sexual assault, and false imprisonment. So just think about this. My friend, the one who was over and over, when a pregnant woman needed kitty litter cleaned, is now serving consecutive sentences of 40 years for kidnapping a 25 to life. Oh, I'm sorry, for 40 years for kidnapping and 25 to life for sexual assault. 40 years for kidnapping, 25. And do you guys understand the difference between concurrent and consecutive sentences? What's concurrent mean? Do you guys know? Concurrent means they happen at the same time. Consecutive means one right after the other. So if you get a 40-year sentence for one crime and a 25-year sentence for another crime and they're consecutive, what's that add up to? 65 years. Let me ask you this, guys. Does the bus analogy in his testimony mean more to you now that you understand where the bus took him? Mm-hmm. The question for everybody is, are you on the bus or are you in the limo? I told you the sermon would be brief and a bit short on scriptures, but there are two that come to mind when I read Mike's story, especially when it is completed by her story. The first is back in Genesis, specifically Genesis 4, 1 through 7. Genesis 4, 1 through 7. And what this is going to show you is that Mike's experience was the experience of humankind pretty much from get-go. Mike's experience was the experience of humankind pretty much from get-go. Are we there? Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought his firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry and why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, listen to these words. I'm going to start it again. Ready? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. So let's think about Mike's analogy a little bit more here. Cain was on the bus, one driven by, who do you think? Augie?
The devil.
The devil, exactly. A bus whose first human passengers were actually Cain's parents, Adam and Eve. They sinned too. It's assumed that Adam and Eve eventually left the bus and climbed into the limo. And here the limo driver, which is who?
God.
God, showing his love for his firstborn, or their firstborn, cautions Cain. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. We're at that bus stop. There's God with a sign with Cain's name on it, saying, hey, no, come here. Sadly, we know that Cain chose to stay on the bus and that the pedestrian the bus ran over was who? Who got run over by the bus that Cain was on? Somebody from his family. Who'd Cain kill? Anybody know?
Someone from his family and some strangers?
No, it was just one person. He may have killed more after, for all we know, because we don't have the whole thing. But does anybody know? Cain and? I mentioned the guy's name when I was reading.
In Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible.
Right?
Hmm?
Mike.
Cain and Mike. Now, Michael's an archangel, right? Is he an archangel? He's an angel. Begins with an A. Does anybody know Cain and it begins with an A?
Abel.
Who said Abel? There you go. Very good. Now, we do not know whether Cain ever got into the limo. But biblically, it looks like he stayed on the bus and now is spending eternity with the bus driver instead of the limo driver. The second scripture that I wanted to bring up today is James 1:15. James 1:15. But we're going to start with verse 13. So James 1:13 through 15, but we're going to focus on 15.
James what?
1. And we're going to read 13 through 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. James 1:15 was actually the first verse that came to mind when I pondered Mike's words. And it seemed especially apropos when I read this snippet from another news article. This is from another news article. Mike allegedly told the woman this was the first time he had ever done this, but he had been thinking about it for years, according to the arrest warrant. The man said he was a nice guy but a pervert, the affidavit said. So did you hear those words? I've been thinking about it for years. Remember the quote? Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth what? Death. And remember the words from God to Cain. And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. So normally, if somebody told you they missed the bus Would that be a good thing? Anybody here take a bus to school?
Yeah.
You take a bus to school? So if you miss the bus, Mom probably wouldn't be terribly happy, would she? It's bad news. In this case, I pray everybody here misses the bus. Now, kids, I'm talking to you again. This may seem, what I just discussed with you, I think Mom, Amanda, and I, we can kind of understand it because we've lived long enough where we've made some big mistakes. Luckily, we're not in jail or anything like that, but we've made some big mistakes. But it's very easy for every one of you to think this doesn't pertain to you. But I'm telling you, especially as you become teenagers, sin will be crouching at your door, and you will be riding the bus with your friends, and you will have to make a choice whether you're going to look out the window at the limo driver and get off the bus. And the bus will run over people. It may run over you, as a matter of fact, because the bus driver really doesn't care for you. God cares for you. The limo driver cares for you. God cares for you, but the bus driver doesn't care. You are a means to an end. The devil wants to, Mike used the word havoc. The devil desires havoc for everybody. So you might think that you're with a bunch of people and you're all going together and you're going to protect each other. But if you're not on God's side, I can promise you those friends will be fickle and the bus will run you over. There are going to be temptations in life that you need to fight now, or they will end up, I hate to say it, you could end up in jail. But jail in some ways is not the worst condition. And I'm not talking about death. I'll give you guys one more example. I was in probably 6 months ago, maybe longer. I was in the convenience store here, and this really thin woman comes in. She's got to be younger than me, but if you looked at her, you might not think she was younger than me. And she's very thin, and I can't remember if she was trying to find cash or whatever, what happened. She goes out the car, and the cashier's reaction was that she had some issue. What issue do you think it is? Drug issue. Can you guess the drug, probably?
Methamphetamine?
Actually, heroin, probably. Opioids, right? I'll tell you, in some ways, no, I wouldn't want to do what he did, but he's in better condition in jail than a heroin addict is. So you can think to yourself, there's no way that what happened to Mike is going to happen to me, but I'm telling you right now, the bus has a lot of ways to run you over. Not just jail. So I'll get off my soapbox on that and wrap this up. If you climb into the limo, so I'm telling you guys, get off the bus, climb into the limo, right? If you climb into the limo, that doesn't mean that your life is going to be a great party with a fully stocked bar and a sunroof that you can stand up in so that you can shout to the world how great things are, right? You're a Christian. Are things always great?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. They will be. He is risen.
Yeah.
They will be. What, Augie?
I think some certain people might hate Christians.
There are some who do hate Christians.
Yeah.
The devil hates you, and he's driving the bus. Do you really want to get on a vehicle? Would you do that with a friend? If you had a friend who really hated, bad term, if you knew somebody that really hated you, would you climb in the car with them? That'd be idiotic, right? Especially, would you stay in the car as you see where they're driving and it gets darker and more distant and stuff? Would you stay in the car with them? No, because they hate you. But people stay on the bus. If anything, the limo driver is honest, and he's told you that your life here is not going to be perfect, because he said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. He's honest. The devil promised you all kinds of great things, from drugs, from lying, from stealing. God says, you know what? I promise you eternal life. I promise you great things in the future. But in this world, your life is not going to be easy. And the other reason to get in the limo is the longer you stay on the bus, the more likely you will run over a jogger or a spouse or a child. And the more likely that you will suddenly see steel mesh over windows, and you'll be serving 65 to life. And it may not be in a prison. It could be with an addiction you can't give up. or a permanent situation where somebody you care about will never, ever, ever talk to you again because of what you did. You'll be serving eternity with a bus driver who what's you? What do we talk about? Hates you. Who hates you. 1 Peter 5:8 says he's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He devoured Mike. And that someone will be you in the future. You are at a bus stop. The limo driver is holding, just quoting Mike, the limo driver is holding up a sign with your name on it, waving and yelling to you. Get into the limo. Miss the bus. Get into the limo and miss the bus. This bus is okay to miss. Okay, Damien? You can miss this bus. And pray for Mike. We can praise God because he did climb in the limo. Late, but he did climb into the limo. And he was willing to share his experience with you all. So you can be smart enough to do what?
Climb into a limo.
Right, and miss
the bus.
The bus, exactly.